You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. This is a message from Canal House Cooking. Canal House Cooking presents the first annual Small Holding Festival with the Kitchen Potager at Linden Hill Gardens and Schwartz Brand Studio, honoring the One Block Feast by Margot True and her co-authors from Sunset Magazine. Pull together your locavore spirit, your DIY sensibilities, and a carload of friends and family, and join us for the first annual Small Holding Festival, Saturday, July 9th, 2011, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Linden Hill Gardens in beautiful Bucks County, Pennsylvania. A small holding offers its owners the pleasure of backyard self-sufficiency through the raising of animals and the growing of fruits and vegetables. The Small Holding Festival will be a day of learning devoted to becoming self-sufficient in your own backyard, garden, and kitchen. Visit our website to buy discounted tickets at www.thesmallholdingfestival.com.
Everybody, you're tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and somewhere along the line, my co-host, Andrew My Son Newman, may make a guest appearance today. And my producer and engineer is Jack Inslee.
Welcome back.
Thanks, Jack. We broadcast every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. All our shows are archived, and you can download a free podcast off the website if you can't listen live. And you can call in during the show. We'd love to hear from you, have your questions or comments. We're at 718-497-2128. So give us a call. Let's talk. Today's show is Love Letters from Uncle Sam. Before we get started, I have a couple of things to talk about. I am presently under the influence of Sirius Novocaine. One of the worst things a radio talk show host has to face is Novocaine. I feel like my mouth's not moving, my brain's sloggy, so bear with me for the next half hour. I'm on super duper 6-hour Novocaine. It's going to be rough tonight. Speaking of tonight, I'm hoping and wishing and rooting and tooting for my man Derek Jeter to hit his 3,000th hit tonight. And if not tonight, hopefully tomorrow, definitely this weekend. So we're going to root and toot for him. And on a said note, I just want to mention our man Ray Dieter from the radio. He's a fellow radio talk show host and a fellow bicyclist and a good friend to some of my friends and my family. So with very, very, very heavy heart, I just want to salute Ray Dieter. Okay, so now we're going to talk to everyone about IRS love letters. I call them love letters. When you get the mail and Uncle Sam says, "Hello, we have a little situation." It's time to, they try to get your attention. They're getting your attention. Most people get pretty nervous when they see a letter. And this applies to whatever state you live in, New York State and New York City, whatever taxing authorities you pay, and you get a letter from them. There's a process that you should do and they have to do. And not all is lost when you get a letter. First of all, there's different kinds of letters. There could be a letter that you made a mistake on your return and you owe them money. Or there could be a mistake on your return and they owe you a bigger refund. That's a possibility. That does happen. So if that happens, review it. If you think it's accurate, then you either have to pay it or wait for your refund. If you're not sure, have an accountant look at it, because it's not uncommon. I don't know the percentage, but it's not uncommon for the government to be wrong. And if they're wrong, you write a letter telling them you're wrong and this is the reason why you're wrong and our return was correct or whatever the case is. Do not automatically pay. Also, do not ignore them. You have to pay attention. One thing about the IRS and the other state agencies, don't forget, they put you are in the system, they have a letter out to you, there's a problem, you're going to hear from them on a regular basis until they hear from you. And it could get very serious. There's a process. After 90 days, they send you another letter, an assessment, and then they start torturing you. And then eventually they scare you, and they start levying your assets, and they're going to show you salary. And eventually it becomes a judgment or a warrant. And the only way out of it is to go to tax court. So it doesn't go away. In all my experience, one case fell through the cracks, and the IRS never bothered to collect from the guy once in 25 years. So don't count on it. The IRS is not the greatest agency. New York State, New York City are kind of discombobulated and confused. They don't do everything right, but they do put their claws on you, and they do start collections, and they don't stop until they get a response from you. They want your attention. Now, let's assume that it's not a notice where you have a mistake, but it's actually an audit. There's two kinds of audits. There's a desk audit, and then there's a field audit or office audit. A desk audit is very simple. They say there's a discrepancy between what we know in your tax return and what you've reported, and send your documents and send your information in the mail, and we'll clear it up. That's a simple thing to do.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
Oh, Andrew finally made it.
I'm flattered. Thanks, Jack. Thank you. That week off really threw my schedule off.
Yeah, right.
I think that's what the problem was.
Yeah.
I'm blaming you. That and the rain. Did you see that rain?
Yes, we saw
Jack,
the rain.
Did you see that rain?
A little sugar cube is going to melt in the rain. He brought his pink umbrella with him.
I had to roll my pants up.
Roll his pants. You have to see what a fashion plate he is today.
I look awesome right now.
You absolutely look awesome.
Jack, what do you think? Jack, you don't even care, do you? What are we talking about?
Listen about these audits.
Oh, that's exciting.
We're doing an audit.
We should talk about my clothes instead.
No.
Jack?
No.
Jack? No? Okay, we're talking about audits.
So if you get an audit, and so now it's not a desk audit, but it's a field audit, or they're going to come to your office or your house. That's pretty unlikely. They come to your office if it's a business. Or you have to come to their office and prove everything. You prove whatever they're questioning. Now, let me tell you something. If you're a straight-up W-2 employee and you have ordinary deductions, chances of you being ordered pretty slim. They're able to match your W-2 to your tax return. They're able to match your mortgage interest to the tax return. They're able to match all those documents to your tax return. So you are not going to be audited if you have a straight-up, clean, ordinary tax return. However, if you have a tax return where you have put in deductions or other things that they do not have a record of, you can be audited. The chances are pretty small. I think like 1% of the returns get audited. If the more money you make, the higher your chances of being audited. So if they do send you a letter and say, we want you to come in and we want you to prove the following XYZ documents, deductions.
I don't know anything about this, really.
Well, you're learning. Why don't you listen?
I'm listening. Okay. I just want to let you know, because you keep looking at me like, you know.
Jump in there.
Do something. You're like looking at me like, do something.
I didn't even look at you, frankly.
You looked at me. I had my head down. I could feel the stare in the back of my head. I could feel it.
You know,
all right,
men don't have eyes in the back of their head.
I do.
No, men don't.
I'm amazing.
No. Can we talk about the order?
I want to talk about the my friend who makes nothing.
Well, tell him what nothing. Under 40,000?
Yes. He was working freelance, like part-time, going
to
school.
Was it 1099?
Yeah.
Oh, 1099, you're likely to get audited.
But he had nothing. I think he made like 10 grand on the 1099s.
Okay.
And they made him come in. They made him go to their office.
Well, his return must have been a disaster. Did he do it himself?
I don't know. He didn't tell me.
Yeah. Chances are, if it's a disaster, I've seen some disaster returns. I once saw a guy, he came in, he had been audited, and he was a W-2 guy, you know, so, and he had ordinary deductions. However, he put the numbers all in the wrong places on the Schedule A. So he wound up having zero taxable income when he finished.
That's smart.
So he got called in, obviously, and they said, what's going on with this return? Well, I was able to fix it, but the guy had to pay taxes.
Of course. Because
he got every dime back. And then, you know, they put that in the pile of, let's look at this later. And later came, and the guy had to pay it back. But that might have been your friend. He might have had a terribly prepared tax return.
What are you pointing at?
I have a sandwich in my bag.
You do? I'm starving.
Yeah. But, you know, we are on the air, Drew.
Well, it's a food network.
It's a food network.
Let's share. What kind of sandwich we have, Jack? You hungry? You in on this?
Andrew's going to eat a salami and provolone sandwich.
Oh, that is fantastic. Let's go.
Okay. But you have to also talk. So.
Oh, I'm talking. Did I not mention how hungry I am? I talked about that.
Okay. We can talk about the audit.
I'm always scared of being audited.
Everybody's scared
Why?
Of being audited. Because the IRS has a marketing plan, a strategy to make people be scared, and they're very successful at it.
This is what I want to talk about this later, but I can't.
And your two cents.
Oh, my 2 cents are going to be like.
Can you wait?
Like a dollar.
Can you wait a few minutes?
I'll
for
wait,
your two
but
cents?
I'm getting excited now.
Oh, good. So Andrew's excited. So anyway, if you have an audit and they, let's say they're questioning your deductions as a freelancer, and you deducted your rent, you deducted your supplies, you deducted your travel, you deducted your entertainment and things like that, and they'll question it, and you have to bring documents in. And what they want is documents is bank statements, credit card statements, and the receipts that go with the canceled checks and with the credit card statements, because that's documentation.
But why need the receipts if you have the bank statement?
Well, I'll tell you why. If you have a check written to, let's say you have a check written into Citco Gas, and it's written for $50. Now, when you go to Citco Gas, a lot of people go and buy gas, and they buy a pack of cigarettes, they buy a six-pack of beer, they buy soda. So the IRS says, you know, it's not automatically gas, okay? That's why they want to see the receipts. Same thing with whatever documentation that you can provide. Let me tell you a little secret from a CPA who's been doing it a long time. The more paper you bring them, the happier you make them. And you want to keep the IRS agents happy. There are mean IRS agents and there are not mean IRS agents. And it's luck of the draw. And the mean ones will give you hell. And they're going to disallow whatever they want to disallow. And it's your responsibility to prove that they're wrong. There are nice IRS agents say, okay, you have proven the vast majority of your deductions. Even if you don't have every document here, we'll let you go with that. So it could fall either way. Also, what I strongly recommend is do not go to an audit by yourself. Have a representative, a CPA, or a lawyer. And the reason why is very, very simply, when you're sitting with the IRS auditor, you're going to spew information and you're going to spill the beans and you're going to make it worse for yourself. Innocently, you're going to have conversations and you're going to give them way too much information. If they ask you a question, you have to answer it. Now, if I represent you at an IRS audit and they ask me a question about you, I can say, I don't know, I'll have to talk to the client and get back to you. And then we can do a strategy when we get back. Between you and I, and decide to answer the IRS in this way or that way. Of course, it's going to be truthful, but you know, we can always spin it a little bit. And lots of times questions are asked at the IRS audit and they're not followed up. So that question will not even be considered in their final decision. Now, the more documents you give them, the happier they are. You're going to have to provide documents for whatever they ask for, and you have to be in organized fashion, and you have to give it to them with a tape, an adding machine tape attached to it, because that's what they like to do. If
really?
You plop a pile of receipts on their desk, they're not going to go through it, they're going to disallow it, and they're going to say, pay the tax on it. They're not being deducted. Yes, it's happened again and again and again and again. You have to be organized. It has to be able for them to be able to understand, and they can see how you went from your receipts right to the tax return. Now, if you get a decision from the auditor, sometimes the decision is zero change, so you got a good auditor and you provided all your documents and you don't have to owe any taxes. You can, once in a while, they can find that you've misposted something and you're actually entitled to a bigger refund. That happens sometimes, not that often.
No way.
It happens sometimes. But then the most frequent one is you didn't document all your deductions and they're going to bill you for it. Now, if you agree that you over deducted and you have to pay them, you pay them. Don't be in any rush to pay them. Wait till they do their final audit. And if you find that they're not giving you a deduction for things that you really feel were good deductions, then you can appeal it. And you can go to the appeals process. And the appeals process is in the next layer. All of this will cost you money to pay a preparer or a representative to do this, but it's worth it because the IRS, not in addition to the tax, will bill you for penalties and interest.
They will?
They bill you for penalties and interest on additional tax.
But now, even if you're appealing?
No matter what. You can only appeal after they've done their assessment. They say you owe us $10,000 plus $2,000 penalty plus $500 interest. You have to go to appeals and get the tax reversed. Once they reverse the tax, they'll reduce the penalties and reduce the interest.
But while you're in appeals, say you lose the appeal, is penalty
if
and
you
interest
lose
still...
the interest and penalty keep accruing.
Why?
Because that's the law.
No, why is it? I don't understand.
It's the law.
That's an awful law.
Well, it's the law. I can't help it. So the IRS has got you over a barrel. But fight back. Many, many, many times, as I said in the beginning of the show, I don't know the percentage, but it's very common. It's not uncommon that they're wrong. and you have the right to prove them wrong. Do not pay immediately. Put your numbers together. Put your papers together. Visit somebody who has knowledge of this stuff before you concede. Don't be afraid of them. Stand up to them. Ask them questions. Sometimes the auditors don't know what they're talking about. Lots of times the auditors don't know what they're talking about. Don't call the customer service and ask them questions. Customer service, chances of getting a wrong answer are so great. They know nothing. They were trained last month, and they're answering questions about tax law. Go to the professionals and get your information straight from the horse's mouth. We'll come back, and Andrew's going to give us his 2 cents, and we'll see where this goes to after that.
Service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're talking about Uncle Sam. And love letters, also known as audit letters or bills.
I hate
tax bills.
I hate the government.
Well, hate the government.
I really do. I every level.
Andrew's going to give us his 2 cents. Can we get the 2 cents? Can we get the 2 cents intro?
Wait.
Let's wait. We're going to be
follow protocol here. There is protocol. Jack, like we have protocol.
We
right
have
here?
Protocol here.
We
Jack,
do not have protocol.
Jack's looking for the music. Maybe we should.
There it is.
See, you got to believe.
Seeing is believing? I don't know.
Hearing is believing.
All right.
What are you talking about? The government.
I'm tired of it. What the hell is that? I'm more of a dog than a cat. Come on, Jack. Give me a bark or something.
He was. That was a dog.
That was a cat. That was like a tiger
a lion,
or something.
Yeah, right.
A cougar, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
You ain't a cougar.
You're a cougar.
You ain't a cougar.
You get married yet?
No.
Yeah, you're about to.
What are you, crazy?
No. Common law. Cheating the system. Anyway.
Cheating the system.
This is another thing I have a problem with.
Would you hurry up? Because we only have 12
minutes.
Oh,
I have 12 more minutes of freaking screaming about.
Wait, we do have number nuts.
Oh, we do have number nuts?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk about how... All right. It started with the Roger Clemens thing.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
I hate this crap. I'm tired of it.
What do you hate? He's an idiot.
Well, fine, he's an idiot. But why are we wasting millions of dollars?
Because that's a due process of the law.
Screw due process. He gets arrested. He gets charged. Say they get him.
They're going to get him.
How long is he going to spend in jail?
Well, maybe he'll pay a fine.
0 days.
Maybe he'll pay a fine.
How much is the fine going to be?
I have no
clue. Unless it's $25 million to cover the cost of this and the waste of everyone's time.
You're right.
This sensationalism is killing me.
Right.
I can't stand it. It's like that the
girl down in Florida.
Well, I wasn't even going to talk about her.
What a waste of money.
I can't stand her either.
Wait, who do you hate?
No, remember,
the prosecutor, or do you hate the?
I hate the government. I hate government. I hate state senate. I hate Major League Baseball for allowing the state senate or the U.S. Senate to get involved in the steroid policy because it just waste of everyone's time and money.
That's true.
Why the hell does it?
Yeah, but the Congress doesn't do.
Who gives a crap what the U.S. Senate says about baseball? It's a private industry that let them. There is nothing.
There are laws, though.
Fine, against.
There are laws
against
they
steroids.
Broke the law.
Yes, but. How did they prove it?
I don't know. Did they prove it?
They tested them. They did internal testing in MLB.
Right.
That's MLB's policy.
I don't know.
Whether they want to fire them, they don't know if these guys possessed a lot of steroids. Maybe they were actually given the steroids by a doctor.
Oh, we know that's not true.
I don't care.
Okay,
why the U.S. Senate is getting involved in that?
I agree with you.
A big waste of money in the first place.
All right. Well, now, then maybe we should have the victims.
Now they're pursuing this. They're pursuing this for no reason whatsoever. What about Rafael Palmeiro? What about Sammy Sosa?
No, but wait a second.
What about all these guys?
Wait a second.
Rafael Palmeiro is pointing his finger.
Wait. It's true. They all did steroids, but this is not what Clemens is up for.
He lied,
so they got to...
Rafael Palmeiro pointed his finger at the U.S. senator. He said, I have never done steroids. He was adamant. If you look up at that YouTube, you see that?
I know.
He was angry at that. And then he tested positive a week later. He tested positive.
If everybody was like Jason Giambi, this would all be...
It would be fine, but why are they going after Roger Clemens? Why?
Because
he
lied.
Who cares? No one cares. No. Everyone lies.
No,
everybody lies.
I don't lie.
Lil Kim went to jail for perjury.
That's also
Lil
ridiculous.
Kim. Yeah, she did.
If she can go, then he can go.
All right. Why do they waste money on these
celebrities? That's a good question.
It's just a waste of money and time. And then, you know what? It overburdens our criminal system completely.
That's true.
Because I remember, I was reading the Times about a month ago. I probably mentioned this in the show, how they're cutting the misdemeanors, night court budget by like $60 million.
Yeah.
And they're saying that people are going to be let free.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to see the judge in their legal term.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think, you know what? Screw it. I think these people should be let go. Yeah. Most of them are in there on drug charges, stupid things that cops want to arrest them for.
Yeah, right.
These are all the things that the legal system is a waste of time and money.
Money.
Time and money.
Right.
Cops giving tickets.
Right.
You have to go to court because you're doing 74 and 65. Who gives a shit?
Don't say
I'm it. Just tired of it. I'm tired of...
Well, you think we should obey speed limits?
I think... I have a whole concept on that, but I don't want to get into that, Jack.
I think we should
Jack,
obey
we should have a
several
meeting after this because... There should be different speed limits for different people.
Okay, one more minute.
That's a crazy
one
idea.
One more minute.
I'm just tired of... The government's looking for sensationalism. They're looking for their name in the press. They want to get out there.
I agree with you.
And it's just like everyone wants to be
celebrity. They stop being politicians.
Everyone wants to be a celebrity.
They stop being politicians.
They're not actually doing their job anymore, and I'm tired of it.
It's all about getting the name in the paper.
And
it's
so much money. The bureaucracy is out of control. The people who work in the lower levels of government are retarded.
Yeah.
It's like welfare.
Right.
It is like welfare.
Right.
And I'm tired of...
Well,
my money.
Well, you want to be president?
I'm throwing bad money. I'm throwing good
president?
Money after bad money. No, I don't want to be president. This country sucks.
Well, how are we going to fix this?
How are you going to blow it up?
Okay. Okay.
I think we should go to a European system.
Okay. Well,
more socialist.
Let's talk about that again next week,
okay.
Andrew.
All right. That's next week's segment. How we're going to include healthcare in our taxes, like the Europeans do.
Right.
And it works better. Canada does the same thing.
Yeah, right.
And why? And our health benefits went up like 13% this year.
Your health care.
Health insurance, 13 to 17%.
Yeah.
Depending on your package.
Okay, let's...
How ridiculous is that? I get angry.
Can we talk about that next week? Let's go to Number Nuts.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. Okay, boys. This is not really... You're going to answer questions. You're going to tell me 10 things that if you have bad neighbors... It's going to cost you. Somehow or another, it's going to cost you. Tell me 10 different things that neighbors can do to you that'll cost you money out of your pocket. I'll give you an example. You want to give me an example?
What if my neighbor's dog breaks my window?
Well, I was talking about more general things, not specific.
Like there are trees growing over my property
line?
Well,
that's one good thing, but how's that going to cost you?
I got to cut his trees.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're on my property.
That's one.
Well, if they keep the place a mess, it lowers the value
that's
of your property.
That's absolutely true.
Jack,
absolutely
you sound smart
true.
Over there, and I'm not appreciating
that's
this.
Okay. That's absolutely true. If you
I
thought,
like my tree thing better.
If you thought that you had moved into a nice block and you have bad behavior going on across the street or not such well-groomed landscape, the value of your house is going to go down. How about, I'm going to give you a couple examples. You're going to tell me how this works. That was a good one, Jack.
Jack, you're smart.
Wi-Fi.
People like you.
You can steal your neighbor's Wi-Fi, right?
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
It's
all unsecured.
Protected. You don't want to use someone's unsecured
some
network.
Some people
You don't
do.
Know what they... Maybe they want you to do that, and then they steal your credit card numbers.
Okay, but then the other side could happen.
What,
you can
what
steal
would,
your
what
neighbor's...
Would,
watch this.
What would Harry Houck say?
Harry would say, encrypt and secure.
Exactly. Get your own. Stop being a cheap bastard.
Okay, well, it's true.
It will cost you more in the long run
but listen,
when they steal your ID.
They can steal. People do leave their unsecured Wi-Fis out there.
Okay.
And you know
doesn't
what
doesn't mean
could
you
happen?
Should use it.
Wait, they use it. And some people have, in one case, the guy downloaded child pornography.
Awesome.
And then the U.S. Attorney's Office came and knocked on the door. And they found out, well, it really wasn't this poor guy's. It was somebody else hacking. He would have been faced with a lot of legal fees defending himself. But the Homeland Security Office said, no, no, let's back off. So there you go. What about if you have a noisy neighbor? You're going to have to install some...
insulation.
Noise insulation in the ceiling and in the walls. That it's going to cost you. You can you're going to have to soundproof some windows. It's going to cost you.
Call the cops.
How about this one?
Why don't you listen to my
But the cops don't do anything.
What number nuts, Jack? We're not answering a goddamn question here.
Okay, watch this.
This is crap.
Okay, watch this.
This is crap.
And I asked you. I asked you.
You asked me questions. How much do you care about my answers?
All right, how much do you think a sex offender
who gives a crap?
In your neighborhood is going to cost you in your house?
I'm done.
It's going to lower your value if you have a sex offender living in your neighborhood.
Well, can't they only live certain places
That's
now?
Right. Yeah. And if they live next door to you, your home value drops by 9%.
You're already in the ghetto.
No, not true. No, the sex offenders are selected by how far away from a school.
Sex offender laws are crazy.
If you live 10 miles from a school,
then you don't want to live there anyway. Good schools add value to your house.
Yeah, but doesn't mean
live
you have
near
to
good schools,
you
and you'll have no sex offenders.
Okay.
Be smart about your home.
Watch this one. This is
I
a good
don't
one.
Like you anymore.
This is a good one for the Food Network. The food.
Yeah,
food channel.
Kill her mic.
No,
I think I should finish the show.
Shut up. The flower. If you have flower beds and you whip them up on your lawn and you start planting corn and vegetables,
what
it's going to lower the value of your house.
What?
Why?
Yep, people want to see pristine lawns and beautiful landscapes.
Are you planting it in the front of your
and
house?
And if you plant vegetables and corn and other things.
Do you do that in your fancy country home?
It's going
to. We promote that.
Jack, I can't hear you.
Of course.
I lost my headphones 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Now, what happens about this one? You live in a building and one of your neighbors have bed bugs. Oh, boy.
That's no good.
Don't tell the people we're buying.
Yeah, well, you got to tell the people you're buying. But a lot of neighbors don't
say
tell their neighbors.
I say they're gone.
And they can, within a few years, they'll be in everybody's apartment building.
I am still so angry.
Watch this.
I am still so angry.
How about this one?
Watch what? What?
What about this one?
What about what?
Stealing your land. This is what I'm faced with. I have a...
You know, few homeowners...
Give me my papers.
I like your notes.
No.
Few homeowners.
Give me... True. So up in the country, I have a discrepancy about how much land I own. And so now I said, well, I'm not going to do anything. So my friend said, no, you better do something. Because if I don't do something about the land and somebody settles in on my land, and after a period of time, I actually concede my land to my neighbor. And that's called adverse possession. And I could lose the land that I didn't push that neighbor off. So I have to make sure that I have my land to myself. All right? How about this one? What happens when somebody decides they're not paying their mortgage and the house goes into foreclosure? Foreclosure properties devalue a neighborhood, and you're going to lose a little bit of money or a lot of money, depending on how many foreclosures. There's neighborhoods where house after house after house is in foreclosure. Those properties are decreasing dramatically. So Andrew certainly didn't like these number nuts. I'm sorry I didn't come up with any real numbers, but I just thought it was an interesting concept about how you can lose money based upon bad neighbors. And so now I'm going to sign off, and we'll come back next week. We'll talk next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Great sadness that we mourn the loss of Ray Dieter, owner of the DBA Bars and co-host of Beer Sessions Radio.
Ray made this studio brighter every Tuesday at 5 p.m. with his larger-than-life personality, charm, wit, charisma, and expertise. We hope the archives of Ray on our station will serve as some kind of window into the life of a man who meant so much to those he knew and those he didn't know. And on behalf of everybody here at Heritage Radio Network, we thank you, Ray.
And they've been doing that for many, many years. And how do they get that barrel of beer? Did you ever hear of a place called Beer Mountain?
I have not, actually.
Beer Mountain is a place that I climb every once in a while to find barrels of beer for my customers. I go up there. I wear big, heavy boots. I carry a sled with me because there's snow and ice. And and I go to the top of the mountain, and I bring back barrels and bottles of beer for the people at my bars. And that's where I got it from, Beer Mountain.
You're awesome, Ray.
It's better for growing things. There's just more rain and more regular temperatures, not as harsh a winter.
Sure.
So it just became more economically viable to grow it there.
Can I just make a statement? I want to apologize to everybody that asked me why hops weren't grown in New York State, because I've told everybody there was a hop blight. I just pulled that out of my ass.
So why did you open a bar in New Orleans?
Well, everybody asks that question. The basic reason I opened a bar in New Orleans, down there, obviously it's a drinking town. It's a lot of drinking town. It's also a culinary town. They have some of the best restaurants in the country down there, and people told us we were crazy bringing a good beer, good whiskey, good drinking concept down to New Orleans, because all the people wanted was, you know, huge-ass buds. And that's all well and fine, and there's a lot of fun to be had on Bourbon Street, but there's a lot of shit going on down there away from Bourbon Street. And we opened up DBA in 2000, and we had a slow beginning because we had a pretty good list, and people were like kind of intimidated. But once the restaurant people, the chefs, the service people in the restaurant industry kind of got wind that we were down there and we had a great beer selection, we got filled up pretty fast. I mean, it worked out real well. And we opened our second place called Mimi's down there. And another aspect about it is down there, you know, a bar owner is a respected member of the community. We pay our taxes, we employ people, and we're part of the whole trade industry down there, the whole tourist industry. In New York City, we're not treated quite the same, and you know that as well as I speak. We're kind of treated as we're not a respected member of the business community as bar owners, necessarily.
So you like New Orleans?
I love New Orleans.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. Ray Dieter, a.k.a. Bootsy Collins, was just on the air. Ray, what was it like in the old days? Did you have a band or something? Bootsy Collins, Ray Dieter, DBA.
I play guitar a little bit, but yeah, it was kind of boring. The beer business is a lot more fun, Jimmy.
You're just too cool, man. I love you, man.
Ray, tell us the Tom Peters story. I know you've known him for years.
Yeah, you know, I have known him for years, and all the stories that I have about Tom, I cannot tell you on the radio.
How about a general beer theme story, like
okay,
the first time you met him? How about that?
Okay, the first time I met Tom, he was running a bar in Philadelphia called
Copa 2,
right. And he was, I went down there, DBA was a brand new bar. We went down there, and he was one of the most generous, wonderful guys. He's like, oh, DBA, I love you guys. Like, how did he hear about us? I have no idea. But he knew who we were, and he treated us like kings. And free food, free drinks. So generous. And then I found out that he didn't own the place. So it's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense now.
If anyone's offering a course like that, it's a scam.
It's absolutely. I took a course at NYU about opening a bar, and it was just a fallacy. It was just ridiculous. They have no idea. It's all about math, too. And the math they talk about is really fun, but it's really not pertinent to what you do on a day-to-day living. Yeah, we need beer. Can somebody open some beer?
All right,
up?
I'm all over this. Give me a minute. Give me a bottle.
My glass is empty.
This is the first show. We haven't been drinking beer nonstop.
All right.
Hey, Ray, how are you? How was your weekend?
You know, my New Year's is fine. I made a few bad choices, but you're supposed to. That's just what it is. New Year's is about making bad decisions. And I did that. But all in all, okay, I lived through it.
Like I say, we're the only brewery in the world. We have wooden oak casks. So
yeah. When are we going to get some casks?
That's the reason. I mean, these casks, we sell them in England. You can't ship these things across the Atlantic Ocean.
How about if we provide the casks?
Even if we do provide the
casks.
When
I say we, I mean by America.
Well, I can,
and by America, I mean Union. Union beer.
Cask beer done the traditional way, as we do it, has a shelf life of probably about a week after it after it's brewed.
Yeah, but we have some casks coming over here. I know the Shelton Brothers bring some casks, and I know that the United, another importer, brings some casks.
I mean, that's fantastic.
And they're fine.
I'm really glad that you appreciate, you know, that's great for you that you have English cask beer. But, I mean, to be brutally honest, the way that we do things at Sam Smith's is that we are very, very traditional, and mm-hmm. that's what we believe our success is based on, is sticking to what
best. But if IPA was made to be sent to India, and that's before airplanes and big steamships. I mean, if you really want to be traditional, you can, like, you know, we can get a donkey cart to come around south of Africa or whatever on a tramp steamer and bring it over. But I think it's time for Samuel Smith's to be available in cask occasionally for special events in New York. A lot of the beers in England, I mean, most of the breweries, the old school English ale breweries, would make a barley wine, but it wasn't, they weren't proud of them. It was something that they kept under the shelf, and it was something that, like, the old guy with the really greasy red woolly cap in the corner would get a little glass, and it was like, he would get a little bottle of it, it was about 6 ounces, and he'd pour it into his ale.
Yeah.
Because nobody would sit there and pound barley wine like we do here in America.
Right. Yeah.
And that barley wine that he was pouring into his ale.
It was fortification,
right. His ale was about 3.5%. It was a session beer. And the barley wine back in the day was probably about 6%, 6.5%.
Right.
And he didn't want to be seen drinking that because only old drunks drank barley wine. But that's a whole old profile.
Little nip.
Yeah. And now, so he would do, he would dip that little glass into his ale, and he would drink that. He'd sip that and quietly have a nice day.
Can't wait to be old.